Good afternoon. Greetings and good afternoon from sunny, beautiful Dusseldorf here in Germany. I am launching my first podcast today, inspired by an app I came across called Anchor. Now, Anchor claims to have all the tools you need to record, pack, and distribute your podcast. So we will try that today, and I'll keep you posted on the versatility and features. So if you're considering or still are doing a podcast, perhaps this will inspire you to give it a try. My name is Alan Shamoro, and with me is AJ Agarwal, my friend from India, who is a senior engineer working for Infosys here in Dusseldorf. AJ has been pretty much my lockdown companion all this time in the building. Hi, AJ.
Hi, Alan.
Okay, AJ describes himself as a medium-level gamer who is into PUBG, is that correct?
PUBG,
yes. As you can see, I'm no gamer, which you know, that's, we'll get to that later. The last time I played games was, I was playing Tekken, GoldenEye. You know, I'm old school, I'm the old guard. I started with an Atari 5200 playing Tetris, so you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know? So I know nothing about this subject, which should inspire you. Because my idea is to, we will try and suck all that information out of AJ, exploring gaming as a business opportunity for sports entities. Now, the objective of this podcast is, because my mission is to help high-performance sports organizations thrive and generate new revenue streams. And pretty much, ideally, they can switch to a new business model, you know, to become sustainable. So I will engage with AJ and explore on the surface the basics of getting this concept flying, right? I like to clear out that my role here will be to extract as much content as I can. We're coming from someone with little or no gaming background like myself, and navigate the findings to evaluate this as a marketing or business platform for your sports entity or even your personal venture. You will probably be interested in this podcast if you want to develop new infrastructure for your sports entity, if you want to create new engagement channels and increase your fan experience, or if you want to expand and diversify your fan base, right? For more information about how to convert this into a monetization strategy, you can reach me at my LinkedIn profile at Alan J. Shamoro. That's Alan with a double L, a J, and a dot, and Shamoro with a C-H-A-M-O-R-R-O. Where I'd love to have a virtual chat and assess your opportunities for commercial growth. Now, let's dive in, AJ. You ready?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I came into the shared common area, and AJ, of course, was watching gaming into a platform that most of you probably don't know, because you're probably old guard like me, which is called Twitch. So why don't you walk us through the ecosystem of gamers, AJ? Let's begin there, you know.
Yeah, sure. So right now, as many of you might know, gaming is a very big industry. It's an up and coming, one of the biggest industry in the world. Many big companies are backing gaming, and especially during this lockdown, all we can do is sit in our home, and for entertainment, we can pretty much watch maybe Netflix, YouTube, or do gaming. So yeah, right now gaming has kind of like two branches to it. One would be the mainstream gaming, you could call esports,
okay.
Which are pretty much like a sports industry.
Okay.
You could say professionals train for it. They devote their full time. It's their day job. It's their bread and butter. And the other one would be casual gaming, or you know, someone like me who likes to play for fun. Also, there's kind of a hybrid between these two, casual gaming and esports, or the professional league. You could say it's more like an amateur, you could say high school kind of thing, but it's not really high school. It's more concerned about the streamers, or a common person like me or you or anyone else. They just start gaming and they are streaming it.
Okay.
So right now, you know, with the advent of internet and cheap data and fast data, so streaming has become a lucrative option for many people. So
okay.
What you basically do in a gaming stream is that basically you play a game, you stream it, you put your own commentary on it, you analyze it, or maybe it's a real time feedback to the people out there. So
okay.
What happens is that, let's say that I have just started playing PUBG, for example. PUBG is a big, very big mobile game, by the way. It's one of the biggest esports in mobile gaming right now. It's available on Android, iOS, and everywhere else. Many of you might know there are PUBG leagues happening, and the last PUBG league that happened was in 2019, and it was organized by Tencent, the company behind PUBG.
Tencent,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a Chinese company.
Okay.
And the prize pool was 2 million euros.
Wow, 2 million euros between all the winners.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's pause it right there. So
yeah.
I'm just going to do, you know, a small recap, right? So pretty much we want everybody out there to understand what this is all about. My goal here is to pretty much convince any professional or high performance sports entity that they should start looking into esports as an opportunity for generating revenue. So according to what you're saying, looking at it from my perspective, gaming could happen in an amateur way, let's call it. You didn't use the word amateur, you said casual.
Yeah.
So let's say you're a casual player, because you're not getting paid for it.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So you're let's say you're an amateur.
Yeah.
You do it for recreation purposes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you spoke about esports, which, you know, we hear a lot about what is esports, and then, you know, I'm 40. So we hear it, but I don't know if we really understand it. Now imagine now decision makers, they're in their 60s, probably 50s. Not all of them are up to date with this. So what is esports? Can I say I'm an esports gamer if I'm professional, or can I mean, who are esports? I mean, like, are they professional gamers? Is that it?
Yeah.
So they are the professional athletes of the gaming industry.
Yes.
And they
exactly.
go into esports. Esports is really like professional sports then.
Yes.
And there are competitions for different games, which instead of sports would be games.
Yeah.
So you are an amateur player of PUBG.
PUBG.
But you could also be, for example, if you would like, an esports gamer of PUBG.
Sure.
So you'd be a professional gamer and you would get paid for it.
Yes.
Just to play.
Yeah. Let me just give you an example of it. So you see, like in general sports, for example, let's say football. You see there are people who are playing in a neighborhood. They go there every week or every day. They play for an hour or two. Then those you can say they are amateur or the casual ones, which I am in PUBG.
Okay.
But there are also players who are hired by organizations, clubs, whose day job or full time goes into playing football. They learn the tricks, they learn how to maintain their body, they analyze matches, and they learn as much as they can about the game. They practice it, let's say 6 hours, 8 hours a day. Maybe not 6-8 hours a day, because, you know, physically you cannot practice for 6-8 hours a day. But the same thing applies to esports as well. So esports, like I told you, is literally electronic sports. It's
a mind game.
Yeah,
you're a mind athlete, like chess, but
no, it's mind with also it's about your reaction times, because most of the big
reaction times. So that's a bit like archery.
You need
some, you know.
Because most of the esports are, centered around real-time games. For example, let's say that PUBG. PUBG is basically a battle royale shooter game, where you are thrown in with 100 other people in a map, and your basic job is to, collect weapons, collect utilities, gain armor, vest, and then kill them and be the last person surviving.
So it's a hunting game.
Yeah.
You could say it's like a hunting game. So I am thinking of, the movie, The Hunter.
You could say the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yeah.
Hunger Games, right?
So this is like a hunting game. So you need to have quick reactions. So is there... So, okay, I didn't know this. So is there any doping in your industry?
No,
I can mean, you enhance yourself to be better? Because there are some features, there are some substances that could enhance your performance in the real world athlete, in the physical world. Yeah. So, do you have any of this?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Right now,
not
I don't
that
think
you're not about.
There are any cases
right.
out there which have
right.
you know, been confirmed that players have been
okay.
doping. But yes, because it's an e-sport, there are cheaters. So when you're playing on your computer or your phone...
They cheat in another way.
Yeah.
Not through substances, but probably hardware.
Hardware or maybe some softwares which will assist
okay.
you in the game.
Okay, so...
That has been confirmed and it's a very big yikes in the gaming community. And
okay.
it's an ever-going battle between the cheaters and the developers of the game.
Okay, right. Good to know. So it is a whole industry. There's a lot of, you know, comparisons to physical
yeah.
challenges and for physical athletes. And so these competitions, they take place on digital arenas. Is there like Olympics for esports? Is there like a World Cup?
No, as of now, there's not. There's no unified platform for different esports, but. Most of the big companies, you could say, or the organizations, the developers of the games,
okay.
they hold their own tournaments
okay.
for their own games.
Okay.
And yeah, that is generally how it goes.
Okay, so for example, let's stick to yours. So PUBG. So PUBG, the organizer of PUBG is Tencent, you said, their developer.
Yeah. yeah.
So PUBG would come and say, well, I'm going to make a championship or an international tournament. And then they host a PUBG tournament, correct?
Yeah.
How much registered gamers are we talking about in one of these official tournaments? Just so we have an idea of how big this is. How many people would register?
PUBG is, you know, like I said, one of the biggest mobile games. So for PUBG, last year, I guess, it was in the format of... I'll walk you through how the selection procedure goes as to... Who will go to the finals? Because like...
But how many people would register in this?
Yeah, so it's like
an
there's
estimate.
An open registration. You register over there with your in-game ID. And then there maybe there are some criteria set by the developer that you must have this many kills or certain criteria according to which they will filter you out. And PUBG is basically... PUBG tournaments are basically four-man teams.
Okay.
So one of the biggest criteria right now is you should have four people registering for the same team.
So how many teams register you would think?
It goes around in maybe millions.
Wow, like 1 million or like 8 million?
It's more closer to, you could say, 10 to 20 million all over.
Wow,
the world.
This is okay. Let's stop right there because, you know, my job is I come from the sports industry and I. Develop commercial strategy. So I'm just trying to understand that if all of a sudden I have 8 million people, you know, 8 million people registering for a product or any of my services, that's a commercial opportunity right there. 8 million people, that's huge. So if I would be a brand, I would probably want to associate with you because you have a platform of 8 million people.
Yeah.
I would be an endorser and I could say, well, PUBG tournament presented by Candlestick, Candlebox Industries.
That really happens right now also. Maybe not on PUBG, but if you go to PC gaming or the mainstream gaming that you could say, many of you might know Counter-Strike, many of you have heard of it. Counter-Strike is like the one of the oldest esports that is around for like 2000s. It's been there for like 20 years right now.
Right. It's like Super Contra of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
okay. So this is happening. So people register in the millions and this is why you have this lucrative 2 million euros. So, okay, we're starting to get somewhere. Okay, so just to narrow it down, we have, you know, casual gaming, which is amateur people, and then if they probably train good enough, they can become professional gamers. So this is why I see teams that I like, for example, Juventus or Bayern Munich, all of a sudden having an esports team, and I'm like, okay, what is this? So pretty much what they are doing is they are diversifying, reaching to a new fan base, and then they're offering a new service, not only Juventus on the pitch, but off the pitch on a digital arena.
Yeah.
And I guess through registering all these people, they are creating a new fan base so they can reach out with new targeted products and services, which keeps them at the forefront of innovation. So I'm understanding a little bit more now. Okay, so that makes sense. So pretty much, if I am, let's say, into baseball or football, I'll probably want to get my hands into an esports franchise, because let's talk about that. So I am a baseball team. I am the Cincinnati Baseball Professional Cardinals. How do I start, you know, in a nutshell, we don't have to go into details. How do I start an esports franchise? What do you suggest? What's the first thing I need?
It's the same as goes in a professional organization. First, you need to create an organization. Then you need to, you know, look for recruits. You will see the people who are already there doing that. So let's say that you are a baseball club. Mm-hmm. So there are baseball games out there.
Okay.
I don't know much about the baseball games. Let's talk about football.
Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is a game, probably. So we have Major League Baseball. It's in my PlayStation console.
Okay.
And I own the Cincinnati Bengals. And I am probably a high performance team. And I have probably a fan base through social media of, let's say, 5 million people or 50,000 people. I have some numbers. So what's the first step? I am the manager, commercial manager, Alan. My CEO comes to me and says, Alan, we're going to go into esports. And I'm like, okay, where do I begin? So where do I begin? I have a fan base of 50,000 people. There is probably a game on PlayStation or Xbox or any other platform. What's the first thing I do?
The first thing that you do is maybe you could go two ways. You could just go through the existing games and look at the leaderboards.
Leaderboards. Okay. Yeah. I would go into my console and play, let's say, PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I would say, I'm going to go to this game, and I go into, let's say, Major League Baseball.
Pretty much all of the games have a ranking system, right? To say which player is better and which player is...
Right. And there's a leaderboard according to their gaming results and performance.
Yeah.
And I would probably want the best in my team.
Yeah.
So I see Ninja 42,000. It's with Skater Boy and Indian Hunter, the top three.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I look for these people.
Yeah.
And I probably want to target them and say, hi, would you like to play in my professional franchise, basically?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we start looking into legal matters and compensation. And
that would be one way to go, where you target the individual players.
Okay.
And the second way to go would be target already existing esports organizations. So for example, the biggest one right now are like Luminosity, Team SoloMid, TSM, Team Liquid, and I can go on and on. There are various professional organizations. So you could go to them maybe, and see if they already have a team for these things.
Okay.
And they have contacts. They have contacts with other organizations.
Okay.
So you can maybe get in touch with them, tell them that you are hosting an tournament, let's say, and you have certain prize pool, and you would like to invite their players to come and play for.
Okay, so let's just narrow it down then. First thing I need is, you know, the human capital.
Yeah.
First thing I need is players, and there's two ways to go about that. Either I go and look for them at some ranking system and look for the best and, you know, bring them on board, or I do not do any tournaments. Pretty much I go through a third party who already is hosting tournaments, and I tell them, hey, you know, I want a franchise that is called the Cincinnati Bengals, for example, or the Dusseldorf Dragons. And I want you to compete. I want you to get good players, and I want you to compete in international tournaments as the Dusseldorf Dragons. And the Dusseldorf Dragons will have a sponsor and a name just like any other club and get exposure through our different channels.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Okay, so let's go with that. Let's say I'm the Dusseldorf Dragons. I already contacted the best. And now I have a team, you know, I have a franchise now in esports. And then, you know, I start marketing it, we start communicating it. And then the next thing would be what? If we are talking that I probably, let's switch sports. Let's say Dusseldorf Dragons, which is my club here in Dusseldorf, we play rugby. So I probably go to rugby in my PlayStation console and look for tournaments and competitions and register to one?
Yes, that is one way. If you are, you know, because for the games that are already on PlayStation and consoles, if you have partnership with the developers, they might, you know, advertise or give information about the tournaments that you are organizing on their games. That is one way. But if let's say that you are not yet partnered with the gaming company or the developers, then you can just put out your own word via this third party that you are organizing a tournament. You can maybe post links for registering on social media and other stuff. And from there, people will register to you. And then okay. You will have a, you know, pretty right. much like any league.
Yeah, yeah. Like starting any grassroots yeah. development program, basically. Yeah. Okay. So the next step is pretty much I have a team. That team needs to enter a competition arena. Whether it's my own competition that I'm developing or I look for already popular competitions to, you know, get exposure and showcase.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pretty much my goal would be to showcase my organization, my club, my values and everything that comes around it, which in my perspective is specifically the commercial side. Okay. So we make a team, we form a team. Then we get it out there in whatever available competitions there are, which there are plenty, you're telling
me. Yeah.
Okay. Can you name the top three environments where that are taking place in these competitions? Because it's easy for someone like me to understand, hey, I want to go to a hockey match. Where do I go? Well, you go to the Düsseldorf Hockey Arena. Okay, great. So if you want to see the Düsseldorf Dragons or the Cincinnati Bengals compete, where do you go? Where do you see this?
Yeah.
Top three.
Yes. So, because it's an e-sport, so there are not a physical space, you could say. There are physical spaces, but only for the very big tournaments. For
the example, World Cups, then.
Yeah.
So you do have like World Cups or Olympics.
Yeah. For CS, they host one of the biggest tournaments for Dota. There is for Fortnite. Fortnite is the latest. Biggest thing on the market right now.
Right.
And last year they had a $30 million prize pool.
Wow.
$30 million, and they rented out a whole stadium for the finals. And it spanned across for like 2 weeks, maybe the finals. So.
Whoa. Like Burning Man of.
Yeah.
Like Burning Man of.
They flew in more than around 1,000 people, from all over the world.
12,000.
1,000 people.
They fly 1,000 people
to a
physical venue.
Yeah.
These are the finals. So this is your Olympics.
Yeah.
But Olympics for that sport.
Sports for that sport.
For Dota.
Because the thing is that in sports, you have to physically go out and do stuff. So there are not that many people. But if you are talking about a game, then everyone can just sit on their
right, of course.
PC and play it. So there are not many players.
So, okay, the top three then. What would be the top three spaces where you could showcase?
Twitch. YouTube.
Okay, YouTube everybody's familiar and acquainted with.
Yeah.
So I can go to YouTube. I'm going to go to YouTube right now. So you tell me where so I can guide whoever's listening to us. Hopefully some
then
people.
Then search for, let's say, PUBG Mobile.
PUBG. So I spell PUBG, P-U-B-G. Space. And it says PUBG Mobile India.
Yeah, you can go there.
I'm going to go there. And then there's a channel. Yeah. I'm going to click on this channel. And this channel has 1.47 million subscribers. Now, let me stop there.
Yeah. This is kind of a country channel, but for esports there's a different channel. You can go to maybe PUBG Mobile Esports. That would be better. Search for PUBG Mobile Esports.
PUBG Mobile Esports.
Right now there's a tournament going on.
Live. Let's go live.
Yeah.
So this one.
No, this one you can see the stream, right?
Yeah. But I can see the channel it has 1.57 million subscribers. Now let me make a pause there, because if you are, for example, hiring me, I'm going to tell you how to build new revenue streams, because my job is pretty much to foster new business models, because a lot of clubs and organizations are still using old business models. So one simple monetization strategy would be that YouTube, for example, pays you $1 for each 10,000 views, if I'm not.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just an example. Imagine what you can get with 1.57 million subscribers. Now, that's a monetization strategy right there. Not that YouTube is the best. I mean, that we're not here to discuss which would be the best, but I'm just opening minds to decision makers in sports and trying to convince them into going this path. So here we have, there's a stream going now live, and there's 52,000 people watching. Wow, that's number one. You can go into YouTube. Number two is a platform called Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch is like the
Twitch.
holy grail of streaming.
So Twitch is TWITCH.TV, which I'm on it right now, and there are a lot of games going on, and there's all sorts of viewers. And then let's tune in here. I'm just picking a channel. It says 500 euro pro club turner Mid-E-Sportler squad. Okay, so this is for FIFA, right? And there's a 500 euro prize. So tell me, how can someone just give 500 euro? How do they make money here in Twitch?
Okay, so Twitch is also kind of YouTube in a similar way, but Twitch is only for live streams.
Yeah, it looks like YouTube.
Yeah, but it's only for live stream. In YouTube, you could have a pre-made video and you can just post it there and people may watch it. But Twitch is all about live. You will just stream it live. It's happening right now. And how you can monetize it there, it is because of advertisements, first of all. Let's say that you are hosting a tournament. So in
Okay.
between you would have broadcasters, right? So maybe they can advertise your club or anything else. And also if you have a streaming setup there, then maybe between the games you could show ads, your personalized ads maybe, or you could show links to your
Right. I
let's say
can use the
that.
platform and the ecosystem to promote whatever I want, basically. So, and then you can also, I see here that there's a tag that says donate. So people could just donate money. And if you have probably, in the thousands, I'm sure it's a numbers game. As much numbers as you have, there's probably an opportunity. So we have Twitch.tv, which is the holy grail of gaming. And there's lots of opportunities for you to monetize on that. Then there's YouTube, and then the third would be
Facebook gaming.
Facebook gaming. That's big as well.
These are the
Okay.
three biggest right now, but there's
But
a
it's
new player on the market. It's called Mixer, and it's
Mixle.
Mixer, Mixer.
Mixer, yes. So let's check it out. Let's, if a 40-year-old like me can find this easy, then it's
Search for
probably
Facebook
more
gaming.
decision makers will Mixer gaming.
No, not this. Mixer is a website in itself.
Oh.
It's owned by Microsoft, and it is one of the most ambitious project I would say from Microsoft.
Mixer's live stream platform, that one. Interactive live stream mixer. So Mixer. Okay, mixer.com. It looks like Twitch as well, and there's all this features, and it's easy to navigate, and then people are playing, and I could see someone there sitting on their, it looks like a Formula One car. That's wow, that's the whole thing, huh? With branding, and someone's having lots of brands. Lots of people. There's King Gothalion and Joy Gaming. They're all playing here. So you look into these three platforms basically, and this is your arenas, basically. This is where you go play. And everybody plays here, professional and amateurs.
Not professional. Professionals, like I said, they are. I told you about the one who is a combination of both, right? Professional and amateur. They are not playing for any organization, but they are also playing it seriously. It's their full-time job. So what they do is they stream all day and they make money out of it.
Okay.
But they are not hired by any organization to play for them.
Right.
Also, there are certain organizations which hire player, and these players can like sign contract with the organization saying that I want to stream as well. So they are generating money from the organization as well as from their streaming.
Okay. Okay, good. Interesting. So the top three, that would be Twitch.tv, that's Mixer, and then there's YouTube. Okay, great. So we know you need human capital, which is the players. Once you have the players, you enter a competition. Once you enter a competition, you start playing, and then the goal is, once you're at that point, you look for someone to tell you what would be your opportunities to, on how to create engagement or find revenue streams available and look into that. And that is where the path begins. So we covered the first two steps and the third. To close it up, what are the requirements? What do you need? If I am someone who wants to host, if I'm a sports entity, I am the Zuzo Dragon, so and I want to host a tournament, or I can do this through a third party. What do I need? What requirements does a company need? A sports entity, I am understanding, can outsource everything if they want. That's number one. And number two is a player. So you need a player with abilities, which we know now where to source these players. Number three, you would probably need good internet and
Yes,
a
sure.
gaming console.
Yeah.
And then what else is there?
I mean, you can have a gaming console or PC as well. Yeah,
So
if you
your
think about all three.
requirements are good internet, a gaming console, and to be part of any ecosystem where you can compete. And that's
Yep,
it.
that's it. You can just
Pretty much around that, then you build the business model.
dive into your favorite game and start gaming.
Perfect. Well, okay, so that was a lot. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground, AJ. Do you think you will go into any future and diverse your path as a senior engineer for Infosys and go into the gaming world? You see yourself?
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure at the moment, but what I'm sure about is I like gaming. I enjoy it. I like watching people do it, and it's a good revenue stream for organization as well as players alike.
Great. So, well, I think we covered some ground. I think we got to the surface. I think the goal here was to explain to decision makers in sports entities just how the ecosystem and how the whole thing works. So, what I take from here is that if you are a sports entity, if you have a fan base and you'd like to expand that fan base, if you like to go further and reach probably new customers, I think esports is an opportunity for you. I think esports, like anything else, is not something that's going to give you money right away, but it is probably a good opportunity to expand your fan base, to create new infrastructure, to reach more audience, and to increase your fan experience and engagement. So that's what I take from this, and hopefully these people will eventually grow into the more traditional sport. So maybe they can come to your arena, buy a kit, and then after that, it's a whole
That kind of
commercial
thing is
marketing
happening right
strategy.
now. Like I told you, right? With the Fortnite, they went out a whole stadium and their merchandise and everything, like you would see in a full-scale
So
gaming.
there you go, decision maker. So if you're not considering esports yet, maybe you should. If you would like to know more about the topic, then maybe we should have a chat. You can come to my LinkedIn profile and Alan with a double L, J Shamoro, sports business professional. And we would love to talk to you about it. We will have, well, I'm sorry, it's Alan J. Shamoro, sports business. But that's it for now. Thank you very much for tuning in. We have hope you have enjoyed this podcast. Thank you, AJ, for bringing us 40-year-olds and above into your era.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me a platform to speak about it.
Yes, no, I think we got a lot out of you because a lot of us really don't know. So our goal is pretty much to convince all these decision makers that they should, and then create pretty much a commercial strategy around this. So thank you for this, and we will keep going and exploring this. This is probably going to be a three or four series, a whole saga about esports. So we hope to have you again, and we'll be connecting into going further down the rabbit hole and see how it goes. And we'll keep you posted about how effective Anchor is. And thank you, Anchor, for giving us a platform as well to make it easy and to record this and distribute it. So thank you very much from a sunny, beautiful day in Düsseldorf, Germany. AJ?
That's it for me. I mean, surely you can connect with Alan for more information. He knows a bit more about it than he lets you believe. But yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, AJ. It was a pleasure having you here. Have a good weekend and we'll be in touch. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Bye, guys.